Tusk Newsome Slama, thank you and welcome to Juno Afternoon. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Today, Fubao is here to get us fired up for the Alaska Law Enforcement Torch Run for Special Olympics 2026 this Saturday at Skater's Cabin. Also, the Douglas Dornan Grant application is open. It helps nonprofit organizations that need funds for services, equipment, activities, and training that support young children, youth, seniors, and special needs groups. We'll find out more about this grant and how to apply. Those conversations are coming up later this hour on Juno Afternoon from your community-supported public media station, KTOO. You can also catch us on our live stream on KTOO's YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram pages. But let's start this hour off with some live music, shall we? We've got in the studio, we have Taylor Dallas Vidic and The Heists. They're about to embark on a journey from Juno to Ireland. But we're going to have a little tune first, and then we'll chat about that. So live from the red carpet stage, Taylor Dallas Vidic and The Heists. Take it away.
Oh, my bucket's got a hole in it. My bucket's got a hole in it. My bucket's got a hole in it. I can't buy no beer for me and my woman. We got a brand new car. Now we sit together on the riding pole. Oh, my bucket's got a hole in it. My bucket's got a hole in it. My bucket's got a hole in it. I can't buy no beer.
Have a seat over here. That is so awesome. That's Taylor Dallas Vidic and Andrew Heist, as well as Aaron Heist there on lead vocals. Welcome to Juno Afternoon, y'all. How are you all doing today? Welcome in, Taylor.
Thank you, Boston. So happy to be here, always.
Yeah, absolutely. And Aaron Wasiati, how are you today?
Oh, I'm so good.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And Andrew, how's it going, buddy?
Very good, very good. Glad to be here, Boston.
Awesome. And we're here today to talk a little bit about this cool trip that y'all are taking. I mean, you all are sort of, you know, well-known musicians in and around Juno, but we're going worldwide, baby.
Oh, yeah.
We're going
global.
Worldwide. You're
big
going
time.
From Alaska to Ireland. You already have posted about some gigs that are already happening next week in Ireland, but there's a gig that's happening here to get ready for it. This Saturday night at the Alaskan Hotel and Bar, May 16th, there's a listening room session at 7:30 where it's like, shut up and listen to the music, which is kind of cool. Mm-hmm. But then also that music kind of makes you move. So then you're going to have like a dancing section at 9. You're going to party down a little bit. And Josh Fortenberry will be joining y'all because he's also going over there to Ireland
with you. That's right.
Okay, so that's the setup. And this is like a fundraiser. Tell me a little bit about this, Taylor.
Yeah. Turns out going on tour is quite expensive.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you know, like you got airfare times 4, and then you have to sleep places and eat some food along the way, rent tiny little cars.
That you drive on the wrong side of the road.
The other side of the road.
Yes, there we go. So it's just nice to get to lean on some hometown support. Because yes, we're going over to Ireland, but we're going to be talking about Alaska and representing our friends and family. And so if people want to take part in helping make this possible, they can come to the show on Saturday night, and we're going to have fun ways that people can donate extra funds if they would like, and we'll have special treats that maybe we can send back from Ireland, and we're going to make a whole bit out of it. So it's about
that.
The music and the community and the joy. Like we want to take the community with us overseas.
Are you going to be like posting on socials while you're away? Will we be seeing what's happening over there?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Most definitely. Yes.
I remember a couple years ago, Aaron, you didn't go on that trip, but a couple years ago, y'all were over there and you called me at midnight on Juno afternoon.
Totally sober.
Midnight over there. Uh-huh. And there were like carrots and stuff. And like, you know, yeah, there was definitely some carousing going on around midnight. So you're going back, but how does it work when you're kind of, are you getting booked at gigs over there? Is there festivals going on? What do you know about it over there?
Yes, we are very excited because for a while we were hoping to get booked at a festival over there, and it worked out this year that we will be playing at the Westport Folk and Bluegrass Festival in Westport, Ireland. And that's towards the end of our trip, and it's a place that some other Alaskan musical pals and other musical pals have played at and said is super fun. And so we're super excited. We're over there for 4 days.
Okay.
And so that was a great way to like anchor the trip. And then we've sort of built some gigs around that. So
they booked, did they book all 4 of you?
They booked us as Josh Fortenberry with the Heists.
Okay.
And
little do they know that they're going to get just a complete surprise bonus.
A bonus 5'11 babe hitting a snare drum and singing Sweet Sweet Harlow.
Very bluegrass.
I love
it.
All in the family.
So it's and that song we just heard, what song was that, Aaron?
That's Bucket's Got a Hole in It. That's a great Hank Williams classic.
Okay. So, and that's the kind of stuff you're going to be playing over there?
Yeah. I mean, we're playing the stuff that we like to play. And also we're going to play really, you know, Alaska has a really unique bluegrass scene. It's special and it's fun and it's rowdy and it includes classic country but delivered in sort of a bluegrass style. So that's what we're bringing.
I see.
So the show that we're playing at the Alaskan on Saturday, you're going to really get a taste of what we're going to bring over there, which is the listening room is sort of all of our original, our original songs. We're going to have solo sets, so it'll be really that more like coffee house listening vibe.
Mm.
And then as we progress, then it becomes more of a bluegrass all y'all. So everybody's on stage. We're all singing together. We've got 4 singers who all love classic country and classic bluegrass.
Yeah,
and,
that's cool.
So we'll all trade leads and we'll play some of our original stuff that fits in that genre. And yeah.
Are they like interested over there in like the sort of American take, or even like more specifically the Alaskan take on bluegrass? Is that what they're looking for from y'all?
You know, I don't know if you ask the average Irish music goer whether they were like seeking Alaskan bluegrass, but there's definitely an interest and a taste for just American traditional music, and so. And then when you add the Alaska factor, almost anywhere else, people get a lot more excited and interested. So it's a really fun thing to be able to share with people. And it's so cool because on our last trip over there, we realized that there is a real respect for singing. Mm. And there's amazing ballad singing traditions going back hundreds of years in Ireland. But the moment you open your mouth, even in a pretty loud pub, everybody gets quiet and listens.
Really?
And to the barman will quiet the bar down and be like, be quiet, he's singing.
Oh,
and it's
nice.
Really cool. So you get to really like focus on the singing. So we're excited to share our original music in forums like that. And then the festival is more of a bluegrass festival, so we're going to hype up the traditional bluegrass and stuff that we do. So we've got a blend of stuff that we're doing over there.
Yeah, Taylor. I'm excited on Saturday night to, kind of harken back to what our experiences were like on the last trip, which is that we did get to perform in these listening room bars, which is not something you get to experience in the Alaskan very often. Mm. We played a show there in January and it worked, and we were all a bit shocked that everyone was willing to commit to the bit. So I don't know, I'm excited. The Guinness will be flowing on Saturday night, and we're going to pretend that we're in Ireland, but from downtown Juneau for a few hours with our friends, and then get to dance and get a little weird, which will be great.
Yeah, that'll be really fun on Saturday night over at the Alaskan on May 16th, a fundraiser for From Juneau to Ireland for these awesome local singers here to get over there and represent Alaska. It is interesting because I think Alaska always is an instant conversation starter, right? We all know that, being from here, whenever you go somewhere. And if you want to get to know somebody, tell them you're from Alaska, and they'll be interested in you right away, which is kind of cool. So how many days, or how long will you be over there?
It'll be about 2.5 weeks.
2.5 weeks?
Yeah, give or take a couple days. But yeah, we get over there on the 21st, and then I think our first gig's on the 22nd in a really cool club in Dublin called the Cobblestone, and that's really exciting. That's a great venue that a bunch of great musicians play at, so we will do our best to represent ourselves well there.
You're not even going to have time to get over the travel sleep thing, whatever they call that. What's that
jet
called?
Lag.
Jet lag.
Boston, you got to get out more.
I'm always here. That's so funny. And then you also have other things happening this summer. I just want to fill people in on what's going on. What else is going on for you this summer, Taylor? I know you just had an album that dropped.
Yeah, just an album that dropped. It is not bluegrass, so I'm so excited to get to, cosplay for the next couple of weeks with these guys. Lucky me. And I've got some things in the works that I'll be excited to announce soon, but it's really cool to now have this tangible bit of music so that when I hit people up and say, hey, can I come and play in your town, I have something to point at, and that's really transformed how I feel about booking gigs. So that's been cool
that's
to
cool.
experience. So I've got some things in the hopper, and I'll be excited to share soon.
I love that. Check the and so for Saturday, by the way, I want to mention, if people want to get in, they can get a ticket at taylorvidick.com. Is that where they go?
.com/shows, and also on the Jack website. We're doing tickets through the Jack.
Oh, and the Jack, okay.
And today we are adding a late night ticket option for people who are excited to just come dance, who want to skip over the sweet listening room set that's our favorite part of the night and just come boogie down.
They're like, I don't want to hear your lyrics.
Exactly.
I just want to boogie.
We heard the call, and so we're putting up a special price ticket for just the later portion of the night, too.
Okay, and that'll be at the Jack, you said, jhc.org, as well as at taylorvidick.com.
Correct.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
And then the heists over here, a little birdie tells me that you might be dropping some music sometime this summer.
Yeah, we just recorded our first recording project as The Heists this March, and our first EP is coming out this summer, and we're really excited about it. We're just getting the mixes finished right now. It's sounding so good.
That's cool.
And then we've actually got some really fun stuff on deck for us. It just got announced today. We're going to play Salmon Fest.
Woo! Salmon Fest. The Heist
fun.
Is Salmon
the
Fest.
The Heist will be there. And we're playing the Red Ants Pants Festival in Montana.
The Red Ants Pants Festival?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a great bluegrass festival.
I love
and
it.
It's,
They're great pants, too.
And they're great pants.
Yeah, I love it. I got
it's
a
like
name.
A women's workwear company that also, they like use the funds from the festival to support women ranchers in Montana.
Oh, that's cool.
And women-owned businesses.
Yeah.
It's really neat. So that's exciting. And then, when we get a little closer, we will also be announcing things related to the EP. We definitely want to do a hometown release show. And
of course.
Can't wait for people to hear it.
That's awesome. So that's going to be full summer for y'all to make things happen. But starting with this concert on Saturday night to help support your trip to Ireland, because you're going to be there for 2.5 weeks, and that's not cheap.
Mm-hmm.
That's not cheap. Yeah. So can we hear another song?
Yeah.
What are we going to hear?
We're going to do another a classic.
A Stanley Brothers, which is as classic bluegrass as you get. This
one of my favorites.
if that's the way you feel.
Okay, I'll let you get back up to the microphone as I pitch the show on Saturday one more time for you all. So on Saturday night over at the Alaskan at 7:30, there's a listening room. It is from Alaska to Ireland. It's the Heists, along with Taylor Dallas Vidic and Josh Fortenberry will be there. They're all going over to Ireland for a couple of weeks. You can go listen at 7:30 and then get your dance on at 9 o'clock. You can get tickets over the jahc.org website or at taylorvidic.com/shows. So once again, live from the red carpet stage, The Heists with Taylor Dallas Vidic. With Taylor Dallas Vidic on Juno Afternoon. Thank you so much, Gunther Cheese, for being here today.
Thank you. See you Saturday.
Have an awesome time on Saturday night as well as in Ireland. Appreciate you all. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO.
Hi, my name is Spencer Edgars with the Juno Arts and Humanities Council, and this is a Juno Afternoon Calendar Delight. The JAC is now accepting proposals for its 2026-2027 gallery season. Submissions are due by May 15th, and this is an awesome opportunity to display work in the Juno Arts and Culture Center Gallery, as well as the Centennial Hall Davis Gallery. You can find more information at www.jahc.org or by calling 907-586-2787. Thank you.
Those applications are due tomorrow for the JAC Gallery. Also on the calendar, Community Fly Casting Night tonight Thursday, May 14th at Twin Lakes from 6 to 8 p.m. This is a free all-ages event sponsored by Tongass Trout Unlimited, Alaska Fly Fishing Goods, and Rain Country Fly Fishers. There'll be fly casting instruction, and they'll have some fly rods for you to use, but please bring your own if you have one. For more information, contact Alaska Fly Fishing Goods at 907-586-1550. Again, that's Community Fly Casting Night tonight at Twin Lakes from 6 to 8 p.m. Also, Luke Bartlett Weld's Innovative Jazz Piano Trio performs a final spring show at the Crystal Saloon on Friday night, May 15th at 7 p.m. It'll include Luke Weld, Sam Roberts, Nick Fishman, on drums, and Sam's going to be on bass. The theme is Far in the Pillar Dark, an improvisational tour de force guaranteed to challenge and delight newcomers and seasoned jazz listeners alike. That event is free and open to the public. That's down at the Crystal Saloon on Friday, May 15th. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. This weekend, spectators will gather on the shore of Lake Riley in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, for the 34th Annual Solar Boat Regatta. In this competition, middle and high school students race solar-powered vessels they designed and built themselves.
We'll have a speed race, and then a slalom race, and then an endurance race, which is the students going around a set of buoys for an hour, and whoever gets the most laps, you know, wins that part of the race.
Mark Weber is with the Minnesota Renewable Energy Society, which runs the event. He says some teams convert kayaks or canoes. Others build their boats from scratch, out of fiberglass or even plywood kept afloat by milk cartons. He says the teams often get creative. One past entry was built from a jet ski, and another looked like a fireboat.
And so they would go and squirt water out of it and had a little hose and sirens on it.
All the vessels are powered by electric motors, with energy generated by solar panels on board. So he says the event gives students hands-on experience with renewable energy, electrical wiring, and boat design. And in the process, they get to have a lot of fun. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Emil Mackey at Country Financial, offering insurance for home, auto, and business, and life insurance to protect your family in case of death. Located in the Juno Nugget Mall. More information can be found online or by calling 907-500-7017. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com. This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm Boston Christopher. Alaska Law Enforcement Torch Run for Special Olympics is this Saturday, May 16th at 10 a.m. at Skater's Cabin. Registration starts at 9:30. And I am pleased to welcome to the studio now to help us learn a little bit more about this and get fired up. I have Fubao in the house. Ganachish Wasiti, how are you today, Fubao?
Awesome. What a wild up and pack it.
Pack it up. Yeah, absolutely. And I also have Sergeant Chris Russell from the Alaska State Troopers. Ganachish Wasiti, how are you today, Chris?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Or Sergeant. Excuse me.
No, Chris works just fine.
Okay, great. I was just going to say I might get in trouble. and then we also have in the house, we have Claire, otherwise known as Fubao's mom. Hi, Claire. How are you today?
I'm doing good. Thanks.
Excellent. So let's talk to you first, Chris, about this torch run. Can you tell me a little bit about what it is, the history of it, and why it's important to the Alaska law enforcement?
Well, it's been around for decades, and it's an opportunity for law enforcement across the, Alaska to come together, raise money, and support Special Olympic athletes by participating in the run, cheering people on, And the money used and raised during Torch Run is used to support the athletes in their travel logistics to be able to go to some of their other Special Olympics in the summertime, wintertime, all those great things they get an opportunity to participate in throughout the year.
Right, because FUBA, there's things that go up to Anchorage, right? There's people who go up to different events up in Anchorage?
Yeah, the big thing about state is it still is so the annual national competition in Matawan.
Oh, okay, but tell them a little bit about the Anchorage Games, the Summer Games.
Summer Games are really, really fun. Just get everybody wired up, and I say, "Are you ready to win? In fight, stand up."
Are you ready to win? What kind of and have you participated in those, FUBA? I can't remember if you have.
I have done water walking and freestyle swim before.
Oh, the swimming.
Yes.
Yep, this will be his third time he's participating in the Summer Games.
Okay.
And so the funds, like Chris mentioned, all the funds are raised. They stay in each community. So the Juno funds will help the Juno athletes to pay for, you know, for renting facilities as they train to travel up to Anchorage for the Games. And then there's swimmers. And who else is going up?
Basketball team.
Yep.
Basketball team?
Yep. And then up there, they have a lot of sports. They'll have gymnastics. They'll have track and field. They have bocce and different things that they compete in.
That's awesome. And then that's in the summer. And then in the fall, I love that you have your 2023 shirt on, FUBA. That's cool.
Thank you.
Yeah. And then in the fall, there's the bowling as well, right?
Yeah. Bowling is fun because you can win pins and win medals also.
Oh, you can win medals from that as well. That's kind of cool in the bowling. That's really cool. And I want to mention this. I think this is really cool. This isn't just happening here in Juneau. This run is happening in Anchorage, Delta Junction, Homer, Kodiak, Nome, Seward, Sitka, Valdez, Ketchikan, Matsu Valley, Tanana Valley, Unalaska, Utqiagvik. I mean, it's everywhere. This is kind of it's a whole statewide thing. And as Claire mentioned, what's really cool about it is all the funds raised. Mm-hmm. It's all going through Special Olympics, but that money that's raised in Juneau stays here in Juneau.
Yeah, to support our athletes, right. And then what FUBA was trying to get at is this year is the USA Summer Games. So in end of June in Minneapolis, they're going to have the USA Games.
Oh, okay.
And 27 athletes and unified partners are going from Alaska to Minneapolis to compete there. And then also I was told that this summer, the Alaska Summer Games that are coming up are going to be, they have certain competitions that they're going to select from to choose to go to the World Summer Games in Santiago, Chile.
What?
In 2027. So, yeah, of FUBA's friends that are athletes, they've been to, like, Dubai and different, like, international world games.
Oh, that's so cool.
So that is cool.
And my mom always said to everybody, FUBA always wanted to go to Nationals.
Nationals, yeah, absolutely. That's going to be really fun. So where's Nationals taking place again?
In Minneapolis.
Minneapolis, that's going to be nice. So FUBA, to me, or tell me a little bit about what's important about the Torch Run and its support of Special Olympics. Why is this important to you?
Because I feel like it's really deep to my heart. But I feel like we need to raise money, and if we don't have a fundraiser, it's impossible to go to Anchorage because we really heavily rely on this for swimming and basketball. Really heavily rely on this for funding.
Right, yeah, and then bowling in the fall uses bowling the funding fall.
Yeah,
to help
bowling
support.
In the fall. Mm-hmm. And is it really fun to like get to hang out with other folks who are competing as well?
Yeah, it's really, really fun because it's a good community event to come as athletes, as officers in uniforms to just raise money as a community, come together and build up community relationships with law enforcement and athletes.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely here for the torch run that's happening on Saturday. You're going to get to see law enforcement, other competitors and athletes for Special Olympics as well. And then I'm curious, like when you go to Anchorage, do you see people every year that are the same people that you haven't seen in like a year?
Yes, it's my buddy with Aisha, is doing an Anchorage Austin, and she's really happy to see me because I know her from a Zoom hangout.
Ah, right, that's kind of cool. So you have friends that you meet. I wonder, do you have any like nemesis, who you know, enemies that you compete with that you that you want to beat? You know, sometimes in certain events. And are you participating in any of the events in the summer Olympics up in Anchorage, Fubao?
Yep, and I'm gonna be. I'm my goal to get people all wired up to win medals.
I know, but how about you? He's asking, are you competing?
So I've been competing with swimming and water walking.
Swimming and water walking. Okay, that's kind of cool. And that's really fun.
And he's hoping to add to his medal collections. He's got a couple of golds and a silver.
Oh, a little Olympic medalist over here. I love that.
Get Phil wired up at stake and win.
Are you training? Do you train for this? Do you like water walking in the pool all the time?
Yeah, because we just finished our local game to see who will go up to Anchorage from Juno.
And did you? Where did you place? Did you win?
Yep.
Yeah, it's a small swim team, so luckily all the swimmers, they can afford to take all of them up to state games, which is nice. And they time each of them, so they submit that to the main office, and then they can figure out who should be their competition in the statewide games. But yeah, they have beginning in March, they started their practices. They'll have one more practice before they head to Anchorage. And then he tries to go once a week with the staff that he has. They try to go to the pool. So sometimes people run into him there.
That's great. And Chris, how do I participate on Saturday? What's the best way for me to get involved in this?
It starts at 10 o'clock. So if you're there by 9:30, there's going to be forms there if you want to donate. There's also when you donate a certain amount. I can't remember.
It's $40.
$40, thank you.
You get a T-shirt.
And then it'll be explained where we're running.
Yeah.
Pretty easy. And then you just enjoy yourself.
And it starts and ends at Skater's Cabin, which is
That's correct.
Cool. Yeah. And are you going to be running?
I'm going to be cheering people on. I don't have the same knees I did 24 years ago, so a little tough in this gear.
Right. Yeah. If you have your gear on, I'm sure that adds an extra weight. How much gear is that? How much does it weigh?
I think it's about 35 to 40 pounds, depending on what you want.
Wow.
On your stuff. So.
Oh, wow. What you pack in everything.
What you pack. Some guys carry a little bit more on their gear and their belt.
As you get older, does it get less and less that you carry?
I don't think so. Unfortunately, no.
No.
No. The standard stays the same.
I totally get that. And you can participate as a community member. You can also put a team together if you want. You can obtain pledges from coworkers, neighbors, family members. And all those funds raised, as we mentioned, are going to be staying in the community to help the local athletes get to Anchorage and or to nationals, I suppose, if that happens. You can also go to this website, specialolympicsalaska.org/law-enforcement-torch-run. Or just search Law Enforcement Torch Run Juno, and you'll find the page in your favorite search engine.
So you could go in there to register. You can go in there to just give a donation. You can even look up, the Juno, if you know a name of an athlete, you could look them up and give them a donation specifically.
Oh, I see. Okay. That's kind of cool. So there's a lot of information over there on that website. And it's how far is the run? How long are we going to be running for?
It's a 5K.
A 5K. Yeah. Okay.
But a lot of people will walk, or maybe they have somebody in a stroller or a wheelchair.
Right. It's very family friendly.
Yes. So you go as far. Fubao and I, we don't usually do the whole 5K. We go and we're like, okay, we're ready to turn around. So whatever people want to do, it's just fun to be out there with everybody.
Absolutely.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Hey, Chris. people might be wondering, what's it about of one?
There's a sidewalk.
Sidewalk. That's, I want to make it clear near, to everybody.
Yeah. So you meet sidewalk. At Skater's Cabin, like Chris said. That's where the registration table will be. But then they'll direct you to get on the sidewalk that's just right past the campground road. And then there's a sidewalk that people
will walk out to. And there'll be people guiding people, too. There'll be people where we can guide you where you need to go.
And this is always my question. Is there snacks at the end when you're done?
For the athletes, but not for other participants, need to bring their own snacks.
Bring your own stuff, okay. Because it could probably take an hour or so, right? I'm just figuring, like out there at 10 a.m., you want to get registered by 9:30, as Chris said. Hop out there to Skater's Cabin and support the torch run. Yes, Fubao? Yeah,
let's pack it with 1,155 people. Let's just pack it and
Wait, that was a very specific number. Was that 1,105 people?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's just have a parade of silence, a parade of people from Juneau, downtown Juneau, all the way to Skater's Cabin. Let's have a bumper-to-bumper traffic nonstop.
Nonstop bumper-to-bumper traffic. I think that sounds really good to me. So that's great. So it's all about the law enforcement torch run. It's happening on Saturday, May 16th. You can find out more information at SpecialOlympicsAlaska.org or just Google Law Enforcement Torch Run Juneau and you'll find out all the information. Fubao, it's always a pleasure to have you in the studio. Thank you so much for coming in and tell us about this.
Thank you. Just pack it. Thank you so much. Pack it up.
Sergeant Chris, thank you. And Claire, thank you so much.
Thanks
the Chiefs for being here
having
today.
Us on.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. This is Juneau Afternoon on KTOO. Now here's this week's Thlinket Word of the Week.
You're listening to KTOO's Thlinket Word of the Week. This week's word comes from K-Sheep. And the word this week is Hatlik-Uch.
Hatlik-Uch.
That means porcupine. And here's a sentence.
Hatlik-Uch. Kagen-Yog-Guch.
Porcupines walk down slowly. Let's hear it again.
Hatlik-Uch.
Porcupine. Gunashchish to Hune Lance Twitchell, Gold Belt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Keyishi Bessie Cooley is Koketan and a child of a Yenyedi man. She is from Daisleen, Teslin, and grew up spending time in Teslin and around Teslin Lake. She earned a master's degree in Indigenous Languages and Linguistics from Simon Fraser University and interviewed many speakers for the Hashagun language series. She is currently translating projects for the Children of the Taku Society.
And tune in next week for another Thlinket Word of the Week from KTOO.
Support for Juneau Afternoon comes from Tongass Federal Credit Union, a member-owned financial cooperative offering checking and savings accounts, loans, and digital financial services. In Juneau at 8585 Old Dairy Road in the K Plaza and at tongassfcu.com, federally insured by NCUA.
Support from Hanson Gress, seeking curious people who like technology, network engineering, and customer support. Opportunities for those who thrive on problem solving. Details at hansengress.com/careers.
Listening to Juneau Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO, dedicated to Carolyn Hobbs Peterson. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. The Douglas Dornan Grant is open and is accepting applications for 2026. It is worked through the Juneau Community Foundation, and I have three people in the studio with me now to help unpack the Douglas Dornan Foundation grant and talk a little bit about all this stuff. I have Eric Kiefner. Welcome in, Eric Gunathish.
Thank you. Hi.
And I have Sue Douglas, Wasiati. How are you today, Sue?
Hi, Boston. Fine, thank you.
Excellent.
Nice to be here.
And I have Mark Pusich.
Yeah, thanks, Boston.
Wasiati, how are you today?
Great.
It's good. It's good. It's kind of rainy out there, right? But it's all good.
Gentle mist.
Gentle mist, as we're used to. So this is one of the many funds. Now, are you all board members of Juno Community Foundation? Okay, so tell me your roles and how you're connected to the Juno Community Foundation. Eric, you're on the board.
I am on the board of the Juno Community Foundation. And
they're calling you right now. Somebody's like, you're on the air. I can hear you right now, Eric. Turn off your phone.
Yes, sorry.
That's okay.
And I have been on the board since its inception.
Oh, since its inception?
In fact, he was one of the founders. He's humble about it, but he's pretty famous as one of the founders.
Of Juno Community Foundation. It's
Absolutely.
A wonderful organization that handles so many of the funds for nonprofits here in Juno and various other there's so many different funds that are available on the website that you can fund. It's an awesome organization. JunoCF.org is where you can go to find out more about everything that's going on.
That's right.
And then, Sue, how are you involved here?
Well, I did serve on the board years ago. I've been pretty involved with the foundation almost since its inception, but certainly not the glory founder like this guy next to me. And then I'm one of the donor advisors, along with Mark and four other people, to this particular fund. And we look at applications and we give our recommendations back to JCF so that the grants can actually be awarded.
I see. So you and Mark and the other four are sort of reviewing the applications, figuring out which services will get funded here and all that kind of stuff. Okay, so you're
Correct.
Like the review panel.
We are.
Yeah. Okay,
I think we're the trustees, right?
We're the trustees of the
foundation.
Okay, that's
cool.
So
Sue, why don't you tell me a little bit about this particular fund, the Douglas Dornan Foundation, how it started, who it's named after, and all that
kind of
stuff.
Okay, thank you for asking, because it's a wonderful story, and I'm afraid that many of your listeners have kind of heard this story before over the years, but so I'll try to be brief. But the foundation was established by my late husband, Paul Douglas, and his late wife, Jeanette Douglas, when their son and daughter-in-law died in an automobile accident. So the foundation is in their memory. They were only 27 years old when they died together, and they only lived in Juno for about 3.5 years. But during that time, they were incredible young people who became very engaged in the community. They fostered children. Brian started a home brewing club. He started the original extreme frisbees.
Ultimate frisbee.
Thank you.
Sure, sure.
And worked with young children. And so they cared a lot about the environment. So the foundation was formed to honor them, but our premise on how we like to award grants are based on things that they believed in, that were true to them, and that they demonstrated during their young lives. So that's our inspiration. Every time our group meets and looks at applications every year, we think of Brian and Wythe, we think of what they cared about, and we try to follow that inspiration when we award grants.
Oh, that's excellent. And Mark, how long have you been serving on this panel or as a trustee, as you say?
I figured you would ask that question, so I did a little research, but I think it's been since like 2007.
Oh, wow.
So my wife and I both,
both
joined at
it.
That time, yeah.
Okay.
So, and now Sue's granddaughter is also part of it. So we have really good diversity on our, as trustees, I think, from the younger side of our populace to a little bit older. So that I think it really makes it's actually very fun when we get to go through and deliberate all of the grant applications that come through to us. It's I really enjoy it. Because we can make a difference, and that's important.
The other two donor advisors that also make it so fun are Jeff and Marcy Larson.
Oh, okay.
So we've got the family thread in there, and we've got Jeff and Marcy who were advisors to the fund from the very beginning. So it's a group that really works well together when we review the applications. And we get together once a year, like right now the application period is open, but we're short on time now. It closes.
Closes on June 1st,
June 1st, right. So we're really, we're on the air now to encourage people, if you're thinking about it, get those applications in.
So let's talk about the application itself. Who can apply for this? Because a lot of times it's groups or service agencies, but can individuals apply? Break it down for me. Who can apply for the Douglas Dornan Fund?
Nonprofits.
Nonprofits, yeah. Okay. And they are doing in service of specific things. Is there specific
categories?
Well,
it's a big variety, and maybe I'll jump to my list here because it's a real variety. We're very fortunate in Juneau, as people know, that we have lots of nonprofits that do wonderful things, and our grants aren't big grants. Our grants never exceed about $5,000, and they're usually in maybe the $200,000 to $4,000 range.
Okay.
So when we award those grants, we're looking at the kinds of things, as I said, that Brian and Wythe cared about, and also the kinds of things that are really needed. And these small grants will often help finish a project that maybe is already ongoing, or an organization might just need a few more funds to finish it. And or maybe they're going to start something new, and they're also asking others for help besides us. So. Mm-hmm. It's a real variety, and one of the ones that we're really proud of that we've supported for many, many years is JAM, Juneau Alaska Music Matters.
Excellent.
When they first started up, we contributed quite a bit to making sure they stayed healthy and kept going, and of course, people know what a wonderful organization it has been for our children.
It's inspired so many people.
It inspired a lot, yeah.
So now, you mentioned nonprofit. I want to be extra specific here because there's different kinds of nonprofits, but this is 501c3s that are eligible for this, just to make that clear. And so is it better for people to have, like when they're applying, is it, like you said, is it best to have like a project in mind? Is it specifically project-based, or can it be for general operating costs?
Not general operating costs.
Not general operating. So they got to have some kind of project that they're working on.
Yeah. We like to fund healthy projects that are doing something that's very supportive of the youth, the seniors, the behavioral health, persons with disabilities. You know, fill in those gaps where there are some funds needed, and usually good things that are already going on.
Mark, is there? Can you give me an example of a few of the kinds of organizations in the past years or so that have received the funds? I don't know if you have that list. I see you have things on you, but
we've got a couple lists here.
Just to give people an example, because I want folks who maybe haven't applied before, who might be a nonprofit, I've never heard of this fund, or I've never thought to apply because maybe my service doesn't fit in there. But really, it's any 501c3 that can apply.
Yeah, I think the spectrum is pretty wide open, and it's not just for the community of Juneau. We have other applicants from other communities in Southeast Alaska that do apply for this. So that is also really nice to see that we're getting the word out.
Oh, so it can be a surrounding community as well. Okay, cool.
Yeah, let me just I'll read off a couple that come to mind. Big Brothers, Big Sisters, AWARE, REACH, Discovery Southeast, Friends of Zach Gordon Youth Center, Perseverance Theater, Skagway Child Care Council, Juneau Nordic Ski Club, Trail Mix, Juneau Youth Sailing, Lynn Canal Adventures, Southeast Food Bank, Sail, Cirque. I guess there was a couple in Wrangell we had one year from their high school for helping them with some of the student lunch program.
So
Juneau Dance Theater, nice. Montessori. Yeah, so there's some, you know, some churches apply for different things. But another thing I'd like to mention is oftentimes when we're looking at an application, we may structure the award based on a match. In other words, we'd allow the applicant to come up with a match, and then we would also match that. So there's a little, you know,
incentive
for them to come up with something at the table. And it just another way that we get strategic on our application process.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Sue, like what are some tips for those who might be applying to sort of help you see what they're trying to do? What can you offer?
Okay, well, first a friendly reminder to those organizations that got a grant last year. We really want a report on how they did with that funding. Mm. And it doesn't have to be a long one. We just want to receive something, because if they want to apply again, we need to see the report about how they did on the previous grant award.
I see.
So that's an encouragement. If somebody's listening in that is applying again and haven't done that yet, please send it quick as possible.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So do you have any limits on people applying again? Or do you make
them
wait?
Okay. No. But
so there's no, you can apply every year.
You can apply every year. Yeah. We only award maybe 15 to 20 per year. Uh-huh. So, you know, there's some people that just maybe they're not going to, we're sorry, but we can't do it all.
Right,
because
sure.
the requests far exceed our ability to fund them all.
And is it better to think about maybe a smaller amount to request? Is that helpful in the ask? Is like if I as opposed to 5,000, is it better for me to ask for 1,000, or does it not matter?
The application asks for a budget.
Okay.
So if you've got a good project going, you've got a budget with it. Mm-hmm. So we'll look at the budget and we'll see what it's based on and try to kind of match that up in terms of what they're asking for and what the budget is requiring. So that really helps when they apply.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. And another tip would be, we don't want big, long applications. We want succinct, well-described projects or requests and a good, clean budget. And that helps a lot.
How about projects that need partial funding and they come to you and say, we have this much taken care of, but could you help for the rest? Have you done that?
Oh, yeah, they ask that. Yeah, and we, I think I said, we are interested in people that maybe have an ongoing project and maybe they need a little more money to finish it.
Yeah, finishing project,
right.
Yeah.
So, we're really interested to see how people are foreseeing the money will be spent.
And it's really thinking about projects that are beneficial and positive for the community.
Absolutely.
In terms of, like you said, youth, seniors, behavioral health, all those kind of areas.
Absolutely.
And JunoCF.org is where you can find all the funds of the Juno Community Foundation that they umbrella, basically, over there. And you can find under their fund tab the Douglas Dornan Foundation. And you can learn a little bit more about the application process.
That's
you can
great.
Get the application from there. And then, again, due on June 1st.
Right. Mm-hmm. And if they want to call the office and speak to one of the staff there, that number is 907-523-5450.
Got it. That's great.
And given there's not much time left, I would suggest if you've got any questions, go ahead and call them.
Call them right now.
Yeah.
So, Eric, I want to ask you a question because you have a history with this organization. As Sue said, you're one of the founders. Mm-hmm. What brought the founding of Juno Community Foundation to light? What brought the idea about?
Well, I'm an attorney, and my partner Beth Chapman represents a lot of people in their estate plans, and she was finding that they wanted to give charitable gifts to Juno projects when they passed away, or maybe even before, and there was no sort of general fund for Juno that could accept charitable gifts. And that's important, because a charitable gift is one that is tax deductible, because the organization that receives it has achieved 501c3 status, which is an IRS status. And so Beth made me start the Juno Community Foundation. And Reed Stoops and Ken Leghorn and I were the original incorporators and the first board of directors. And we created the organization and then went around to other existing nonprofit tax-exempt organizations and said, look, we can manage your endowments. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing that we did. And then we started expanding and doing other things. And then along came Bruce Wyrock, who was a representative at the time, and he had achieved a multi-million dollar grant from the federal government for a tobacco settlement. And the legislature was ready to give it to Juno, but they didn't know where it would go and what it would be for. And Bruce came to me, I think, and said, can you do something with this? And we said, sure, we could build a field house with this. And so the grant went from the settlement fund to the state of Alaska, and then from the state to the Juneau Community Foundation, and we built a field house with the money.
And I think when Amy was on last, executive director of Juneau Community Foundation, was it last year you were celebrating, was it 35 years?
26 years. We incorporated in the year 2000.
It's I didn't 26. Mean to age you that much more. Sorry, Eric.
26. So we had a 25th year celebration.
25. Maybe that's 25. Right. Yeah, okay, that's what it was. There's a lot of people having anniversaries these days.
So those were our founding events, and since then we've added on a lot of things. People describe community foundations as the Swiss Army knife of charitable organizations, and that's because they have multiple things going on. We are a collection of funds.
Yeah, and pretty much every nonprofit in Juneau has their fund managed, at least most of them, it seems like, by Juneau Community Foundation. I know Disclosure, the Legacy Fund, which Sue has worked on here at KTOO. KTOO's Legacy Fund is managed over there at the Juneau Community Foundation. It's just an excellent organization that really helps so many organizations here in Juneau. And services, and there's all kinds of grants in there for individuals, for groups, as well as for this grant, the Douglas Dornan Foundation. So you can apply for this grant at junocf.org. Go to their fund tab, look for the Douglas Dornan Foundation Fund, and hurry, because June 1st is the deadline before these guys are going to meet and dole out the funds, right?
Right, and we'll meet this summer, and the funds will be distributed probably early September.
September, okay. Uh-huh. Yeah, so it's for like that coming fall period. Well, I really appreciate y'all being here today. Thank you so much, Eric, Sue, and Mark. I really appreciate it coming on Juneau Afternoon.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thanks very much, Boston.
Absolutely. Yeah. This is Juneau Afternoon on KTO. Here's little Josh Fortenberry.
I could argue with a statue, still think I won. And I've been holding back a promise and holding at a gun. I've been lying to my parents about how much I run. But that is not the worst thing I've done. Family is a contract no one ever signed. And I think love is eyes wide open, true hate is blind. And I've been hiding from my friends, but none of them are prying. I never learned to take a hit, but I'm trying. Watch another movie about living the same day over and over, about some trouble getting sober, about trading places with another, about some enemy turned lover, about the realities of war, or learning what we're fighting for. I'm not dreaming anymore. I'm not dreaming anymore.
That's going to do it for today's Juneau Afternoon. On tomorrow's show, the League of Women Voters shares a screening of SUFS, and the high school debate team is headed to Nationals. We'll chat with them about all of that. That's it for today. I'm Boston Christopher with help from Aaron Tripp. Gwyneth Cheesh, a little more Josh Fortenberry.
I'm too scared to play it cool. You can smell it on my breath. And I rarely write a song that doesn't mention death. Think my choices have no meaning, yet I'm filled with regret. And in light of all of this, I'm surprised you haven't left.